Chaos. Kulak. Kulak House was magnificent. The Callahans had chosen wisely. Stately oak trees lined the avenue leading to the mansion, which was set in 20 acres of woodlands and gardens, with a gate lodge at the entrance. It reminded Catherine of Stormiston House so long ago. They all adapted to country life very quickly. In no time at all, Catherine became acquainted with the young Father Nugent, the parish priest of Kulak, who introduced her to the poverty that surrounded them. If Catherine thought that her dear friends in Dublin were poor, she discovered that here in Kulak things were even worse. Father Nugent shared her passion for the poor, so they became good friends. He saw in Catherine an extraordinary gift and knew that God was calling her to something special. He introduced her to two priest friends, Father Armstrong and Father Blake, who were later to become her very dear friends and advisors. Catherine and Father Nugent became familiar faces in the back lanes and streets of Kulak village, visiting the sick and the dying, and bringing food as well as words of kindness to the hungry. Catherine was in the fortunate position to have been given the support of the Callahans in her works of mercy. They were more than generous and gave her the freedom to share their good fortune with the needy. Besides helping so many people in the village, Catherine took a great interest in the servant girls, not only in her own house, but in the numerous grand houses around the area and surrounding neighborhood. Many young girls were treated badly by their masters, who often took advantage, and Catherine's heart was always filled with pity for them. In her heart, she hoped that one day she might have the money to buy a little house where she could give shelter to young girls like these. The gate lodge in time became a hive of activity too. The children, ragged and dirty, flocked here not only to be clothed and fed, but to learn. Catherine, so like her father before her, had an amazing influence on these little ones. She told them stories about Jesus and talked to them about their Catholic faith. She taught them her favorite prayers: Jesus, have mercy on us. Jesus, help us. These little ones began to realize that Jesus was their friend and that he was with them just as he was with the people in the stories. Despite the huge amount of work to be done among the people in Kulak, Catherine continued her visiting of the poor, the sick in Dublin. Sometimes she barely got a few hours sleep at night, but she seemed to be able to carry on. She had a strength which could only come from her friendship with Jesus, and it seemed to grow stronger each day. Despite having no religious objects in the house, because the Callahans preferred it that way, Catherine could find many objects around which spoke to her of God's love. The cross beams on the doors and in her bedroom window reminded her of Jesus on the cross. Sitting in the shade of the oak tree in the front lawn, listening to the song of the birds, filled her with a reminder of how good and how great God was. Her greatest joy of all, of course, was her freedom to attend Mass in the little parish church. William and Catherine Callahan didn't approve, but they did not stand in her way. As time went on, Mrs. Callahan's health failed. She was no longer able to run the affairs of the house as efficiently as before. And so Catherine took on much more of the responsibilities, as well as spending a great deal more time with the dear elderly lady. They became wonderful companions and very close friends. Catherine's responsibilities now included hosting the frequent dinner parties, which were always a great success. Eleanor Macaulay had taught her daughter how to entertain with charm, and Catherine did just that. The Callahans were so proud of her and confident that the guests would always be made feel welcome. Among the guests to dinner in Coolock House quite often was James Macaulay, Catherine's young brother who had become a doctor, and of course Mary, her sister, who eventually married Willie, now a famous surgeon in the Royal Hospital Kilmainham. Both Mary and James had long abandoned their Catholic faith, which caused Catherine great sadness. Cousin Anne Conway, now Anne Byrne, happily married with a young family, was also among the frequent guests. While Catherine enjoyed entertaining the many visitors to the house, her heart was always below stairs with the servants and the young women who often sought refuge. A familiar caller over the years was Ned the Fiddler Kelly. Often Ned would pop in on his way home from a wake or a funeral, and he and Miss Catherine, as he always called her, would enjoy a good cup of tea together and have a long chat about the old days. James Macaulay was still remembered the length and breadth of North County Dublin. Of course, May and Larry were long dead. The fever took both of them. Catherine always liked to catch up on the family news. All Ned's children were grown up. Even young Tom had married and was a proud father of four. Ned never went home without playing an old bar of a tune, as he called it himself, for everyone below stairs. Chairs and tables pushed aside, skirts lifted above the ankles, including Catherine's, the dance would begin. It was Kelly's kitchen, all over again, 20 years later.